On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have State Senator Chris Kapinga of Delafield on the line now. He and his colleagues in the Senate sent Governor Evers a $100 million COVID relief bill Friday, which the governor swiftly vetoed. It marks 10 months of the two parties unable to see eye to eye over how to control the spread of COVID and how best to assist residents, schools, businesses in these trying times. Where do we go from here? What do you want to convey to the Senate president? Do you think Wisconsin needs a statewide mask mandate? 800-642-1234 to join in. Senator Chris Kapinga represents a district to the west of Milwaukee that includes parts of Waukesha. Senator Kapinga, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate. Glad to be here.
So the science shows that widespread use of face masks prevents infections of COVID, which has killed more than 6,000 people in our state. Why are Republicans opposed to a statewide mask mandate?
It's actually not the mask mandate that the Republicans have from the beginning gone after. It's the emergency order power that the governor has exceeded. And we've been very consistent about this, where remember the mask mandate and several other orders are underneath an overarching emergency orders issued by the governor. And what the Republican legislature has been saying from day one is, we support the first 60 days. We understand, we put that in place to make sure the governor could act immediately if an emergency like this came up. And we all agree COVID came out of nowhere. No one really knew when it came about how we're going to handle this, what it actually does. So that first 60 days was critically important for the governor to be able to just get out there and do what he needed to do to make sure people were protected. After that 60 days, then the governor, and during that 60 days, actually, the governor should have been working with the legislature saying, we know the 60-day emergency order is going to end, so what do we do in order to move forward? And what the governor has done consistently is he has not come to the legislature after that point. He just continues to reissue an emergency order. And what we've contended, and this is in the courts right now, is the governor does not have the authority after that initial 60 days to issue an emergency order and then take steps unilaterally. He is supposed to be working with the legislature. So that's really important to understand.
And so if this issue isn't about masks, then why are Republicans focused on consolidating power? Why is it all about taking power away from the governor in the pandemic?
Well, actually, the governor has consolidated the power through his actions. So in normal course of business, the legislature and the governor in these situations, they work together. There's a process called rulemaking authority. And the governor, if he sees, hey, I need to be able to do something here, he comes to the legislature. We work through the process.
Which can take quite a long time. Rulemaking isn't something that can happen overnight. And with COVID, you have to act quickly.
Correct. But the governor, remember, the governor had 60 days. So he issued the emergency rule order back in, I think it was March of last year. And then during that 60 days, what typically would happen is the governor would come to the legislature and say, hey, I know we've got this 60-day mark, so let's start working together now. And that would have been plenty of time to get any emergency rules through and approved and worked through with the legislature. But he did not do that. He didn't pick up the phone. He didn't come over and say, hey, we need to work on this together. I know that I don't have the authority to do this. He just unilaterally made the choice to do that. And that is not a safe position, because it's COVID now, but what happens when it's another issue? And I talk to my friends who are Democrats on this and remind them that what if this is a Republican governor and they choose to act unilaterally after a 60-day emergency order and start putting things into place that you don't think are appropriate? That divided government, split government, is there to protect everyone from unilateral power and authority. That's not how Republicans or the republic works.
We're talking with Senator Chris Kapinga, the president of the Republican-controlled Wisconsin Senate. We're discussing COVID legislative issues amid the pandemic. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Kevin is with us from the North Woods. Kevin, hi, go ahead.
Good morning. Yes, I'd just like to coming at this from the food share angle of this and how that was going to be jeopardized with your bill to get rid of the mask mandate. And I refuse to believe that you guys didn't know about that. I think you were just trying to sneak it through because you Wisconsin Republicans.
Okay, Kevin, I'm going to jump in here. And Senator Kapinga, what is the impact on food share and what has been done in the legislature to not lose that $49 million?
Yeah, there's actually, there's a fix to that. It was an amendment that was put through to ensure it's $49 million. It's an extra added amount to the food share during the pandemic through the CARES Act that went through federally. So there's specific language in the federal legislation that as the attorneys that we use in the legislature drafted the bill, they did not catch that. The wording had to be very specifically or carefully worded to make sure we didn't put that in jeopardy. That was missed. And we actually put an amendment through to fix that as soon as we found that out. So that actually is not an issue at this point, should the legislation be signed.
Sandy in Oshkosh called in, couldn't stay with us. And Sandy wants to know, why haven't Republican lawmakers proposed their own legislation on wearing masks?
Because the Republican legislature has been focused on having a discussion with the governor's office. So we've been waiting for the governor to come to us. And if you look at the speaker in the assembly actually has talked about, and I think it was last week or the week before, he issued a public letter so that people saw that, hey, the assembly has had the discussion internally, and we are willing to talk with the governor about specific situations where we're comfortable looking at a mask mandate. The Senate is not there yet.
On the issue? I mean, where do you stand on masks?
Yeah, where I stand on masks is, I think after a year of being in place or close to a year now, I think Wisconsin understands the risks. And I don't feel that putting a mask mandate at this point is necessary. I think people are mature enough, and we know enough now after 11 months of being in lockdown. We know who's at risk. We know how there's certain age groups that are definitely more vulnerable than others. Actually, this last weekend, I read an article where Fauci came out and said that children, for instance, school-age children, especially the younger ones, are extremely low risk. And they're saying, let's get these kids back into the classroom because they're lower risk. And on the other hand, we know that folks like my mom, who's in her 70s, she has to be very careful, and she is, as far as how much she's actually going into public. But we know that now. And remember, back when COVID hit, we just did not understand the impacts of, hey, who is at risk and who is not at risk or who is at low risk. So now that we know that, people can take their course of action. We still have the CDC coming out and saying, hey, here's our guidelines. And those are shifting actually over time based on what we're learning about COVID. So that's the position I'm taking. We still know that people need to be careful. Social distancing is critically important. Cleanliness. Again, back to my mother, who knows she has to be careful with how much she actually goes out into public because she's a very high risk.
Let's bring in Barb now in Rice Lake. Hi, Barb. Go ahead.
Hi. I don't think your guest is being quite candid about this. The way I remember what happened was the legislature was not in session, and the governor asked them to call a special session so that they could address this before the 60 days ran out, and the legislature refused.
Senator Kapinga, go ahead.
Yeah, actually, we were in session, Barb. The legislature was in session effective last year. It started, I think, the second week in January. So we were in session. We could have taken action. Even if we're out of session, though, the rulemaking process, committees still meet. So what happens is the governor says, hey, here's something that I would like to work on. He can propose the rules, and committees still meet all the time. So it goes into a committee. The committee has the hearing, proposes the rule out of committee to the general body, but we were actually in session, so we could have worked through that process at any point in time. We're in session up through, I want to say we were in session through April or May, but as you indicated, Barb, the special session call, that really was the governor's, he wanted to highlight something and say, hey, it's a way a governor can make a fairly quick political point, and I want to highlight how important this is, but the legislature was meeting, and we easily could have worked through the rule process. There was no hindrance there with the legislature being out of session. That's actually not the case.
We have State Senate President Chris Kapinga discussing what happens next with elected officials unable to be on the same page with mask wearing, with COVID relief. Who do you trust in the ongoing pandemic? Do you look to the governor? Do you look to the legislature? How do you want Republican lawmakers to work with Evers and Democrats? Where do you see room for compromise? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap here on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with State Senate President Chris Kapinga of Delafield. In our state, 6,054 people have perished from COVID. Governor Evers vetoed a COVID relief bill Friday, 296 days since the last piece of legislation had passed the legislature. Democrats introduced a standalone statewide mask order proposal. And still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in John now in Sparta. Hi, John.
Hi, Kate. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Hi, Chris. I've been sitting back and watching this debate go on for a long time. I'm basically stuck at home. I mean, I'm handicapped. I get out like once a month. And every time I get out, I mean, all these stores, you go in, there's only half the store, they're not wearing masks. It's like, why do I have to, you know, I get out. Why am I suggesting this? I look at like New Zealand. New Zealand, as soon as the virus came around, they did a mask. They said everyone will wear a mask. They're basically COVID-free, you know. But yet, it seems anything that's, you know, Republican. I mean, it's like, why not work with the governor?
John, thanks. State Senator Kapinga, you know, John's saying public health orders that, you know, masks are one of the only tools here to stop and prevent a resurgence of the pandemic.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, John. I was actually in New Zealand when this all went down, and we got out. My daughter and I went on a daddy-daughter trip there, and we were there, and we got out 2 days before they locked down, so I'm very familiar with what they've done there. And anybody who hasn't been there has got to go because it's amazingly beautiful. But the mask mandate, again, the information, if you look at the data, and I'm a big data guy, I'm a CPA by trade, so I watch numbers, but I've watched masks and no masks in place in the state. And if you watch the dashboard, and anybody who hasn't seen the Hospital Association dashboard, just Google it. You can go there. You can watch on a daily basis, which we do.
570 currently, yeah, in the hospital.
There you go. Yep. And I think the ICU, which, again, the number that we watch is the ICU beds because the healthcare workers have said, we want to make sure that we don't run into a problem taking care of somebody if they get sick. So we always watch that number. But if you look at that number and the state has been in a mask mandate and we were not in a mask mandate, then we went back into a mask mandate. What those numbers have done is they have not fluctuated based on the wearing of masks. So when we had the big spike in November, which is second week of November, that's a very typical, unfortunately, time frame for flu-like illnesses to take place. So if you look at history, second week of November, we always spike way up. Just naturally because it starts getting colder, people start going inside and they're closer together.
That had nothing to do with the holidays and congregant gatherings?
Well, that does too. That actually started, remember, holidays are Thanksgiving, so you got that towards the end of November. The spike started way before that. It started at the beginning of November, and it typically does, again, because the weather starts getting colder. So if you look at that, we were under a mask mandate at that point, and we spiked way up. So in looking at the numbers, when we have masks and we don't have masks, I'm not seeing fluctuations based on the mask wearing. I'm seeing fluctuations based on the proximity of people when they're going in, indoors. And we know the number one place people contract the virus is actually at home when they're in their own home. So that's something to always keep in mind as we talk about mask or no mask. And again, this is a discussion about the governor's powers and his ability to unilaterally act and not have a discussion with the legislature. That's not how our system of government is set up.
Let's bring in Isaac in McFarland with reaction. Isaac, hi.
Hi. My comment will be to this senator is that he is talking from both sides of his mouth. When Scott Walker was on, they increased his powers. When Governor Evers came in, they trying to take some powers away from him. This doesn't make any sense. You went to school for 4 years and you did college. Why are you going there? Why taking Mark's mandate off in the middle of pandemic? You just play into the French part of your party.
Okay, Isaac, thank you. And Chris Kapinga, go ahead here, looking at reducing powers in a Democratic administration.
Yeah, so just naturally think about this. And we're talking about the power of lawmaking is held by the legislature. We're the will of the people. And when it's a Republican legislature and it's a Republican governor, we naturally know that, for instance, Scott Walker is going to line up with our value system or our system of policy much closer than Governor Evers. And the reverse is true. If you look at Democrat-controlled legislature, they're naturally going to agree with the governor more if it was Governor Evers versus Governor Walker. So the legislature has the authority and the ability to cede that power out and to pull that power back in based on who's in the governor's office. And again, it's not just a Republican thing where the Republicans say, well, we're going to do it in this situation and not in this situation. It's very consistent with history. So just keep that in mind, that lawmaking authority is, in our form of system of government, held in the legislature, and we cede it and we pull it back based on who's going to be in the governor's office. So I want to make sure people understand that. That's a very natural thing. There's trust, and then there's less trust if somebody doesn't line up with what we feel is the right direction.
Dave now in Madison with thoughts. Dave, hi.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling this morning first to express my astonishment at what I'm hearing this morning. Your first guest sees no hypocrisy whatever in saying that people have the freedom not to wear a mask, yet you want to smoke a joint. Oh, heaven forbid that. You can't do that. And yeah, to your current guest, I'd like to ask, your whole issue is a technicality of the law. We have a once in a 100-year situation going on right now. But rather than doing what every health official in the world says to do, the very simple thing of putting on a mask, which people obviously won't unless they're forced to, you're going to fight against that. Does that make sense, sir?
State Senator.
Well, again, go ahead. Thanks, Dave. I'll point back to we have to be very careful here with ceding power unilaterally to a single person. That is dangerous for everybody. And we give that power for 60 days. At the end of that 60 days, we do not allow unilateral power. Now, Dave, it's very clear where you stand politically. And you're saying, hey, politically, this time, this is great for me because I agree with the governor and I think he should be able to make more decisions. Well, flip the tables on that. Let's put Scott Walker in the office. And let's say he's doing things unilaterally without the legislature that you definitely don't agree with. I guarantee you would not be sitting in the same situation if the tables were turned. And that's what we have to keep in mind is it's unilateral power by one person. That's not how our system of government works.
State Senator Chris Kapinga, I want to move on here to look at the COVID relief bill. And Governor Evers had wanted the compromise version of the bill that had passed the Senate almost unanimously weeks ago in January. why can't Republicans get behind the previously agreed to bill?
What happened was the governor came out and said, hey, here's a proposal for the legislature. I do want to work with the legislature to get something done. Within the legislature, we have the assembly and we have the Senate. So in order to get something done, we have to have those three agree. Now, the Senate looked at it a little bit differently. We actually sat down with the governor and we're like, listen, we know we need to get something done here. And we came to a compromise that the governor said, I can get by with this. And both of us, just so everyone knows, a good piece of legislation in divided government is when both sides walk away holding their nose a little bit and going, I don't really like it, but I can live with it. And the Senate and the governor walked away and said, we've got a piece of legislation here that both of us can live with. We're not real happy with it, but for the sake of just getting something done that will help the people that we serve, we can live with it. The assembly also has to agree with that. And the assembly decided in their body that they were not comfortable enough with what the Senate and the governor had agreed to. So they put additional provisions in the piece of legislation, and the governor subsequently vetoed that. Now where we're at is we still have the Senate version of that sitting, and the assembly can choose to say, you know what, it didn't work. We still do feel like we want to get a piece of legislation done. So if we can get them to agree with what the Senate and the governor agreed to and came out with, then we can get that piece of legislation in place. So we're hoping that takes place. But again, I'm not in the assembly. I'm in the Senate, and we have divided government for the protection of the people. And we have to keep working with the assembly to try to get them to where the governor and the Senate agreed to.
State Senator Kapinga, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
State Senator Chris Kapinga of Delafield, president of the Republican-controlled chamber. Earlier, we talked with his Republican colleague, State Senator Mary Felskowski of Tomahawk. Just ahead, an infectious disease physician fields your questions about COVID vaccinations and the latest interventions in caring for COVID patients. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.